I'm here to tell you today about purpose. We all have a purpose in life. Life's purpose is just like, you know, my purpose is to go to church. My purpose is to do this. Or the purpose, when the people tell you about the purpose of something, that's what their intentions are. And our intentions are not just to come here and live, breathe, make money, go to work, have the nicest this, that, and everything else. Our purpose is to follow Christ. And Christ has told us that numerous times that he is our purpose. It's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to let the world set a purpose for you. And the one thing you find out when you let the world set a purpose for you, it's going to fail. It's going to fail. You know, because we all need to know that Jesus is that firm foundation, that purpose, that no matter how life shakes us, and life will shake you. Life is going to throw some things at you. And we should not be surprised, as Jesus said, because of me, they are going to hate you. You know, they hate other people, but they are going to hate you. And in our purpose, it is not for us to hate, not for us to cause discomfort, although we do sometimes, but we have that joy of being able to say, Lord, I'm sorry, and repent. And God will still love us and take care of us. The scripture I'll be reading from today is Matthew 28, 18, 20. In the New International Version, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am surely with you all the days to the very end. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Amen. 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 You know, when Jesus said that, that sounds kind of intimidating at first, because I got to go out and make disciples. I mean, I got to spend some time with some people. I've got to put in the work. I've got to know what I'm talking about. You know, and it gets a little scary at times. But, you know, he says that we are to baptize people. You know, all of those things, you know, and to teach them what God has taught us. And, you know, those can be very scary. But as he says in the end, I will be with you always. He said at the beginning, I have authority and power. And everything we do for him, God comes from him, through us, and then back to him. In other words, you know, he's got a hand in the bag like a puppet. And some of us listen, some of us let him lead us, and some of us close that little spot off and say, I'm going to do it myself. And that's where, once again, we fall. That's where we lose our focus on what our purpose is supposed to be. You know, so, you know, in other words, the other thing is, how do we fulfill our purpose? You know, in Mark 1:17-18, Jesus said, as he walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. You know, we all have nets that we were casting, things that we were doing when Jesus called us. And a lot of them are good things. These are the things that God has built into our DNA, because some of us are good at various things. And God saw that, and he said, come with me, follow me, and I'm going to have you be an administrator. I'm going to have you be the kind person you normally are. I'm going to have you be a secretary, because I like the way you do your work, and I'm going to teach you how to find men, how to capture people, how to share the gospel, how to bring people to me through you. And that's what we need to focus on, because, you know, no matter how good you're making crafts and everything, God can use you. If you're good at playing a sport or something, God can use you. If you're good at being an Uber driver, God can use you. All these things that we do are of no coincidence, but they're for a reason. Because all the things that we go out and do every day, God will make it work. He will use you to cast that net, to go out and share your story with people, to share the gospel. And it's that song that we were singing about, the Jesus of me loves the Jesus in you, and how easy, it's really easy. We just make it complicated. We let Satan get in our mind and say, they're going to laugh at you if you tell them about Jesus. They're going to talk about you. They're going to get behind you and say, oh, it's one of them Bible people. They also are going to try to say, they remember when you did X, Y, and Z. And Satan will use that in our mind to shut us down, to make us say, you know, I don't want to do this. I can't cast net. I can't catch men. But yes, you can. Because like you said, all authority empowers him, and he is right there with you. You know, We must understand that, you know, we will build our foundation on Christ. What do we do what he wants when we don't want to? We still have to do it. Even though we say, Lord, I don't want to. And all of us have done that. I've done that. Lord, I don't want to do that. You know, and I still get up and do it. It's like sometimes my wife would tell me, we need to pray for this person. And I'll say, I don't feel like it. Or I don't want to go and do that. And then once I get there and do it, I go, okay, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I still did your will instead of doing my own. You know, we look for opportunities to do his will, and he is willing to help us and guide us in it. That's all we have to do is have a willing heart. It's not hard. We just have a willing heart to do it. And, you know, and one of the things, since we're talking about fishing, I'm going to tell you, I am not a fisherman. But I do know some things. I know some people who were fishermen. You know, first thing, when you want to be a fisherman, you have to have a desire. That's something I think I want to do. I want to learn how to do that. I like that being on the ocean. I like that being in a boat. Whatever it is, or being on the pier, I like doing it. I think I want to do that. The next thing you have to do is have somebody teach you about the equipment. Tackle, bait, fish, and all the different things that go along with that. And you learn it. You learn how to cast and do all the different things that go along with fishing. Then first thing you have to know is whether you're fishing in freshwater or saltwater. All those kinds of things tell you what you're doing. And you learn out what kind of fish you're going to catch in these different environments. God will teach you how to do all of that. Because when we come to Jesus Christ, his version of this is, first of all, we have to have a desire to serve him. We have to have a desire to live the life that Jesus led, you know, and to believe in his life. Because it's easy to say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But once you add that in the life of Jesus Christ, what you're saying is, I'm going to follow. I'm going to do everything that Christ did. I'm going to be like him. And that's where the problem comes for many of us, because they're sacrificing being like Christ. You know, sometimes we want to put too much into how people look, where they're at, what they're doing and stuff. And Jesus just said, just come and follow me and I will help you. You know, I will show you the way. I will show you who it is you can talk to, who it is you can't. I will help you do all these things. Then the next thing you do have to do is believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that he is God incarnate, that he came here. Then you have to say, he's born of a virgin. You know, there's so many of us that say, how does that happen? But we'll accept that a man and a woman can do it. Why can't we accept that God can do it? So we have to have all those things intact. We have to believe and show the world that he came here. He walked with us. He showed us the way. Then he left and told us, I will have all power and authority, and I will take care of you. Because I keep saying that because sometimes we forget that. We start walking with Christ, and then things go wrong, and we forget that he's there with us all the time. You know, we have to understand, too, that with Christ, it's an intimate relationship, extremely intimate. It's all about every day before you get out of bed, a short prayer. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Help me be better than I was the day before. Because this is no casual acquaintance. You know how you have people you talk to every so often and you'll tell them that thing, I sure missed you. Well, you ain't called me in 6 months. So how are you going to say you miss me? You know, you don't keep in touch unless you need something or want something. So that's a casual relationship. Right. You know, now that intimate relationship, you're talking all the time. You are in touch all the time. You know that person. You can be on the phone and say, what's wrong with you? I can hear a little tone in your voice. You know, that's that relationship we have to have with Christ, where we know him, he knows us, we follow him, we believe in him. You know, then the next thing you know is that you have to accept the Holy Spirit, which is God's way of communicating with us. Because so many people don't understand that the closer you get with God, his Spirit works into you. That Holy Spirit is that connection. It's that thing that sometimes will make you laugh when there ain't nothing funny. You know, it's that thing where you'll think of the word or something. You get that little feeling in the back of your neck. And you go, oh, Lord. You know, that's the Holy Spirit operating in you. It's that discernment he'll give you as you walk closer to Jesus, where he's telling you about this person, about that person, how to approach them. Because, you know, when we approach people about Christ, we can't approach everybody the same way. We have to have wisdom. We have to watch them and say, how can I best approach this person about Christ? You know, that just running up on everybody, Jesus, 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 it don't work. Because everybody ain't there. especially non-believers, which is what our time is. Yeah, we talk to other Christians, and that should be a matter of building our faith. Because, see, initially when people went to church, it was all about telling them all the things that happened all week. I talked to this person, and hey, we're making progress. Pray that next week when I see them that we can get them a little closer to coming to Christ, and I can get them to come to church. You know, that's what church was for, to come back and praise God for all he had done. Not just so much he blessed us on things, but how we were a blessing to others. That's what builds your faith in Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, always looking for ways through the Holy Spirit to touch other people. When people see you, do they see Christ? Does Christ enter the room when you walk in first? You know, do people see that? Because, I mean, you've seen people, you say, they are a good Christian. You know, they ain't perfect, but, you know, I know that I'm not going to get no drama from them. I'm not, you know, they not always trying to be right. If they're wrong, they will say they're sorry. They're always trying to bring peace rather than disruption. So that's what we have to do as we go. We have to look more like Christ. We have to be more like Christ. And that's a conscious effort. Just like we can think about what we're going to have for dinner, because sometimes I get in the morning and be thinking about dinner. And, you know, that's how we have to be with Christ. Christ, what can I do for you today? What do you want from me? Show me every turn of the day. And that's that praying without ceasing. That's where we pray all day. It doesn't mean we have to keep our eyes closed. Then we can ride down the road and just say, Lord, you're so good to me. Just praise your name. Accident on the side of the road. Heavenly Father, bless them, Father, because you get yourself in a mindset, you know. Then when you go out fishing for people, you got to have the right equipment. You know, once you've learned how to use all those things, you have to put it in use. First thing we have to have is God's word. You know, in Hebrews 4, 12, 13, God said, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul, spirit, joint, and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes and hearts. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who we must give account. We have that power. If we just take the time to use, like I was saying earlier, just to watch people, just to share with them. Because God will tell you where people are at. Just like you and your parents know when you done did something wrong, you just reek of it. That's what God has given us the power. That's the way he sees us. He knows. Because like I was saying, we do more of trying to hide our sins from man. And God's sitting there right there like, you ain't even talked to me about it. You're trying to hide it from them, so you respect them more than you do me. And that's what we're saying. I respect these people. I fear them. I don't fear you, God. I'm just going to let you see me doing what I do. And he's like, that's how you do that, huh? And we go and we try to hide it from everybody else, try to look all perfect and stuff. And the thing is that when we walk and we let Christ lead the way, people know it. Because when we walk and we're not telling him our sins, we're not getting cleansed, people see that. They can see that fault in you. They can see that they know Christ, but something ain't right here. Something just ain't settling well with me. And, you know, we all stumble. We all have our moments, but, you know, those are biopsies where those are little things. The big picture is, yeah, they are a Christian. You know, they, in the balance of things that go, Christ is heavier than the other things that go on in their life. Then the next thing we got to have is prayer. We have to communicate with Christ. We must communicate with him daily. There is no other way to live. If you're not talking to Christ daily, you're not living. Because like I say, one of my biggest things is I've known people who've been in church for 20 years and can't pray. You ask them to pray, they start sweating bullets, got to go to the bathroom, something else. All these reasons why they can't talk to God. They cannot say, Lord, thank you. They cannot tell you that boldly. Just, I love the Lord. Simple prayer. Just say, I love the Lord. If you can't do nothing else, work on talking to God. Because it's like, you know, you're in a marriage, you're in a relationship anytime, and you don't talk, there's a problem. Ladies, say amen. Because, see, I saw this thing where it said women have 70,000 words they use a day, and men got 20. We are at a deficit. Because like I say, when I was talking to my wife for a while, first thing she's asking me is, what is wrong? Why are we not communicating like we always do? And, you know, and I have to kind of think about that for a minute. I said, yeah, you're right. So we have to talk to God, you know, because when we talk to him, he tells us where to fish. There's an opportunity over here. I want you to go over here and just say something. Why don't you go over and just give that person $4 or $5? There's an opportunity. Just tell them Jesus loves you, and I'll do the rest. You know, we have to also, he tells us that what to say and what type of bait to use. Like I say, it could be anything. Just a matter of just that little conversation, just a little meal, whatever. And people are appreciative. Even the most low-down person is appreciative. They may talk about you later, but they have to add in there that you bless them in some kind of way. You know people like that. You bless them and they still got that funky attitude about it all. And they talk about you and they spin it around some kind of crazy way. And all you were doing was being kind. But, you know, God will tell you all those things. You know, he also tells you where to fish, what type of fish we are catching. Once you know all of those things, it makes things easier. Because, you know, we get pointed out to ourselves, okay, Lord, where do you want me to tell this person? How should I approach that person over there? And that's our whole day. We can't even approach our people at work, people we deal with all the time, with a Christ attitude, which is something that we have to be doing. We have to have that conversation with Christ. He will tell us all those things. He'll also tell you when you're wasting your time with somebody.
Right.
He will let you know, wipe the dust off your hands and your feet and keep moving. You know, there's a verse that talks about casting your pearls to swine. You know, we're not saying people are swine, but it's like, why give the pearls of Christ, this wisdom, to people who don't know, who are muddling in the mud? And we see them, and sometimes we try so hard, I'm going to bring this person to Christ, you know, and that's what the mistake is. We ain't bringing nobody nowhere. You know, it's all about God uses us, you know, and sometimes we get caught up and think we did something great when we bring somebody to Christ or something, but God just used us the way we'd use a hammer, the way, you know, people use a brush to paint. You know, they don't marvel at, oh, that brush painted that wall just right. No, I painted that wall. You know, and that's the way Christ did. You know, I gave you the strength to do that. I told you how to do that. So he will tell you who you need to talk to and how long to talk to them. Because sometimes all we're doing is putting a seed out there and somebody else may come to water it. You know, and also have a testimony. Nothing spectacular. Nothing that's great. No sermon. Just a testimony of what God did to you. Tell them how he redeemed your story. Tell them how your whole life was changed. And it doesn't take much. You know, like I tell people, if you have a scripture that you live off of, you can tell a testimony. And like I said, when I was talking about how God tells us where to fish, there are people he will bring into your life who are going through something that you've been through. And they are ever grateful. You ever had somebody tell you something about what you're going through and you hang on every word? Oh, that's going to happen to me? Oh, yeah, that's where I am right now. You hang on every word that they have to say. Because God is telling them what to tell you, how to find the light. Because like I say, we are all bakers trying to tell other bakers where they can find some bread. You know, we tell you, the word is where you find life. That's the cure. Because everybody's searching for it. Everybody's looking. They're trying to find a hold of something real. You know, but God is the cure. And that's what our job is to do, to tell them. Now, once you've caught these fish, we got to clean them. We got to clean those fish up. And I've done that. I was a Boy Scout. We caught fish and you scraping scales and off that. That is not pretty. That is not pretty. The eating's good afterward, but that part of cutting all the guts out and all that stuff, that is not pretty. And the first thing God will tell us is, do not judge. Do not judge anyone at all. You know, in this word he says, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be used to measure you. Like I say, when you meet somebody and they don't know Christ, the first thing you don't do is talk about all of their sins. You don't talk about what they don't have. You don't say, oh, you know, you didn't follow this protocol or you didn't do all of this and stuff. You know, it's kind of like having a baby and saying, why are you doing that on yourself? Why are you pooping on yourself? Why are you drooling? Why is all that food running out your mouth and being angry? Because when people don't know Christ, they don't know the love. And you know, and it's easy to tell somebody sins. It's like, you know, I've saw where being mad takes more muscles in your face than it does a smile. You know, because instead of somebody telling me all the things that Christ, the heathen, and all these things, God loves you. He has a plan for your life. This is not the way he meant for you to live. You know, because as you talk to them, as you get them to a point, they'll learn all those things. You know, because the church I go to, you know, the dress is always casual. And I remember, well, so I was at church in San Juan Capistrano, and people would come in their beach outfits, literally, in their beach clothes. And we would just be in shock for a while, but as they grew, they go, oh, my Lord, I need to put on a little bit more. I need to do a little bit more. I need to change. And that's God that does that. Because, like I say, we don't change anybody. We can't do anything. Salvation is not ours to give. All I can do is tell you where to find salvation. Because that comes to that point where they say, I want to receive Christ. And you pray that prayer with them. That's when the road to salvation comes. And say, we didn't give them that, get them there. You know, in 1 Colossians 3, 5, and 8, it says, what after all is Apollo, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I plant the seed, Apollo waters it, but God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants nor one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. No one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. So what I'm saying is, you just doing what I told you to do. You know, we want to do the hard part. We want to do the saving. And God is saying, no, that's not what I called you to save people. I called you to tell them about me, you know. And I know it may be uncomfortable sometimes, but one of the things that the Holy Spirit will tell you, when God tells you to do something, he's always going to say, this is for my glory, you know, not for your glory. Because we all want glory, and my thing about glory is that we don't know what to do with it. What you going to do with glory? I still haven't found a use for it other than people standing and looking at you for a point in time saying, oh, you did wonderful. You did awesome. You, you, you. That's all it gets you. You know, glory is like what I say. It's like perfume. It's good to smell it, but don't drink it. Do not drink it because it'll make you sick. Now, God uses glory. Now, he knows how to fill the room with his glory. He knows how to make it where it's not just people telling me about glory. He makes it where everybody feels the glory of him, not of me trying to be somebody. So that's what I'm saying. It's all about his glory. And that's what we have to remember with our purpose is that he does everything for us. He takes care of us. And then when we get deeper into discipling or cleaning these fish, and we start feeding them, let's don't try to feed them with heavy theological sermons or things. Let's start small. Back to that, God loves you. Here's what sin's all about. Here's where Jesus comes in. Let's talk about all the ways we can help others grow. You know, that's what we do. The heavier stuff will come along. And sometimes we just get people there and then somebody else takes over. You know, and another thing is just like going back to God will tell us who to talk to. Everybody doesn't grow at the same level. So we can't expect people to grow where we want them to be. You know, because all of us in here, there are certain things that I could say in the blood, things like that. And we go, yeah. And other people would be like, what in the world? In the blood? What in the world are they talking about? That's where that growth comes from. So we have to accept that everybody isn't where we are. Because, you know, a lot of you think, well, my walk or what I know about Christ isn't a lot. You're going to start talking to some people, a lot of them to other Christians, and you'll realize you are more connected to the Father than you think you are. You know, that's why getting out testimonies, you start to realize God has given me far more power. Satan just had me believing I didn't know a thing, but I know some things. I wasn't going to Sunday school for nothing. I learned some things and stuff like that. Because, you know, at the party yesterday, we were having these little games. We had to write down names and stuff. And it felt good. Everybody pretty much filled out the sheet. There was nobody with a blank sheet that didn't know any of those names. Now, you put that before some people who don't know Christ, what can I think of for an A? What can I think of for a C? You know, what can I think of for a G or a J? You know, but we just whipped right through it. Folks came out with names and everything. Yvette came up with a Xerxes for an X. And I was like, okay, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that. So we know things, and we should never be ashamed of the things we know. Because we'll tell each other where a good sale is. We'll tell each other where you can go. Oh, yeah, you can go over here and get that for half the price, and we will tell people about it all day long. We will talk about our families. We'll talk about other people. But we need to talk about Jesus Christ more. You know, and like I say, it's so easy. You know, we don't have to come off with spiritual scriptures all the time. All it takes is when somebody says something, yeah, that's a fact. You know, Christ showed me that years ago. Or I learned that in Christ. Just keep the conversation moving. You know, if they stop and stumble, we just keep it moving. You know, here's always opportunities to put it in perspective or just, yeah, I was at church last week and pastor said, da, 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 da. That kind of goes with what you were just saying. And then just leave that drop there because the word does not come back void. Anytime you say scripture or something about Christ to somebody, it pierces them. It pierces them for the good or for the worse, but it pierces them. Because I say, I've seen people come to Christ that they said, yeah, somebody told me about Jesus when I was drunk, and I just kind of passed it on. Then somebody else told about it. Then somebody did something kind to me, and I was watching a Billy Graham crusade from 1957, and I accepted Christ. You know, who knew? That's the way Christ operates. He doesn't do everything flamboyant and great. He does things subtle and quietly. Like I said, we all can hear them loud voices talking to him, but we also hear that whisper. We also hear that whisper of, I'm here for you. I care for you. I love you. Don't go in that path. And that's the way we should approach other people, quietly. Because I don't know, shouting and things, it works sometimes, but for the most part, you know, just like, you know, as a parent, you shout the kids so long, they shut you down. And that's the way people will do you. Oh, you're going to tell me about this Jesus, but you're not telling me why about this Jesus. You're not telling me what it is that we are looking for in this Jesus. You know, and we also, as we walk with them, we also have to give an example of what Jesus looks like. Like when you go pace the people, like I always will say something, God bless you to everybody, the counter or stuff, you know, to go through the line, the clerk, the name is Jane. God bless you, James. Jesus be with you. You know, do something kind. Hey, here, take this basket. Let me get the next one. Just anything like that. And when you walk with people and they see that, it's contagious. It gives them permission to do the same thing. Because there's something about kindness sometimes that people have a hard time with it. Not that they're not kind, but it's just that Satan, don't be weak. You can do that for them. And it only takes a moment. And I tell you, it feels good when you do it. You know? And even if they don't accept it in the way you want, God saw it. And that's what we have to remember. God sees us doing good. You know, the world is going to always try to put you down for it, where somebody may say, I don't take something from somebody like you. Okay, well, praise God. You know, I feel sorry for what he's going to do to you for doing that to his child. And see, that's another thing we don't realize. We are his children, and we're not going to let nobody talk bad to our kids. Right. We're going to protect them. And God does the same thing. Sure, we may have little problems and stuff, all the thing I was saying about Larry, but he is watching us. He's going to protect you. Because if you do that, you get a blessing. And like I say, sometimes like with money, it's like, Lord, I gave $100. I need that back. You need $150 if you got it. But God is like, okay, you were a blessing. I'm going to bless you. But you know, it may be 5 months when I bless you, but it's going to be bigger than what you did before. I'm going to take care of you. I got you. That's what he's saying to you. And we have to understand that, you know, because even when Christ came back, I was looking at Isaiah, and he was telling them that there will come a leader, Emmanuel, who's going to save the world. He didn't come right away, but he came on time. What's that thing? God never there when you want him, but he's always on time. You know, we run out of time, but he can still do it. You know, this was supposed to have happened yesterday, but he made it happen when he was ready, and everything worked out. We all have a story about that. That's a story we can share of how God worked something out for us, you know. And, you know, we make telling people about God so difficult. We talk about everything that's going on in our world, like politics. You know, I used to be on Facebook a lot, and before all my friends were scriptures, things like this, then all of a sudden, it became polarized with politics. You know, everybody talked about their side, who they want and stuff. And, you know, Jesus is over it all. You know, even if the person you don't want to win, even if there's a fear about that person, God is in control. He is the one who's in control. Because I have not seen man solve anything. In the history of time, I have not seen man solve one problem. And that's what we forget. You know, we have a national day of prayer, but we don't have a daily prayer. Because our prayer should be for our nation that they receive Christ. Not that one party or another wins. Our concern should be that God blesses this nation. You know, we also ask him to keep us, Lord, don't mess up my finances, my house, or whatever. But I want to pray for those who don't. Because if we were serious about prayer, there wouldn't be people laying on the street. If we were serious about prayer, you wouldn't see mobile homes parked up and down the street. You wouldn't see a lot of things that happen. If we were serious about prayer, there wouldn't be a Nickerson Garden. There wouldn't be a whole lot of the problems that we see. But prayer is always like, oh my God, it's time to pray. Is it come to this? No, that should be the first thing we do. You know, because God will save our children. Because I know when mine get grown and you can't tell them, I just say, okay, I'm going to pray about this. I'm going to pray about it. It ain't happening as fast as I want, but I know God's working it. Because, you know, God do the thing where he gives you the answer when you least expect it. Your tears will turn around when you least expect it. You almost come to your knees like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that today. You know, he will bless us. Because that's something we all deal with if we have children, our children. And God is in control of them. Because just like everything else in life, he gave us to do a purpose, certain things with them, prepare them for the world. And if we prepare them, even if we didn't, he can. You know, because I would say, my parents did a great job, but I had my prodigal moments. I had my moments where I did things and led a life that was not in line with what they wanted from me. But they kept on praying. And I'm here today telling you about the Word of God. So that's how we have to be with prayer. We have to be very intentional. Because he's the only one that can solve it. He's the only one that can make above. You know, and share about the love of God. As I said earlier, that should be the first thing we tell people is God loves you so much. You know, that is something we don't do because we've been programmed to identify sin. We've been programmed to be fruit inspectors. And the fruit that is produced is now we may look at it, I don't know about that fruit, but God says, I got a plan. Watch what I can do with that. I'll turn that sour apple into the sweetest thing you ever tasted. You know, God will do all of those things for us if we just take the time to know him, to get to know him, to love him. You know, and in closing, I was going through a lot of the stuff my parents had, and there's a lot of pictures and stuff. And I saw a lot of y'all when you were in your 30s and 40s. You were looking real good, real spry, all around this church doing things. I'd watch you, and I'd be like, wow, you know, things were going on. And, you know, and then we were talking about yesterday about the people who were here who started the church and all these names of saints that have gone on. You know, and looking at all of those saints, you know, it was like, wow, they're not here, but they built this foundation. You know, Acts 13:36 says, God said to David, I will use you for my purpose in your generation, and then after that you will die and go and be buried with your saints, with your ancestors. We need to put our name in there. God said to each one of us, he said, James, I'm going to use you for your generation for my purpose. And then you will go on and be buried with your ancestors. Because this life is so short. Because I was looking at those pictures, and I was saying, looking at some of them with myself, and I was saying, where did the time go? What happened? It seemed like all of that was yesterday. What's going on? Where is everybody? Why are things so different? Why is life so fleeting? You know? Because, you know, we're like a flower quickly fading. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. We're like a vapor in the wind. And we have a certain time to take care of what God wants us to do, a certain time to fulfill his purpose. Because once you're dead and gone, people will remember you for a while, but God will remember you. Just like when the pastors always say at the end, he got up and we got excited. He got up so that we could have life after this life. And that is the message. This world is temporary. We all see that. You know, they had hundreds of obituaries of different folks here that I knew and stuff, but they're gone. And all that's left, your name is on a piece of paper that some people won't even remember. But that eternal life, it is always going to be there. God is always going to care for us. And that's what we have to realize. The things we do here are for now and for eternal life. Because that's the good news. We don't just die. We change addresses. We move on to someplace else. We live a spirit-filled life with Christ for eternity. So I ask you all just, God bless you. I love you all. I pray that God just enters your heart, that he just touches your spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Amen.